So not too long ago, I held this workshop at WPPI where I gave my top 30 creative strategies to get photography clients as fast as possible without paid ads. And it killed it. It sold out. It was incredible. I've been sitting on it for a little while and I've decided to bring it back. To bring it back and to give it directly to you. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to pay anything either. I just want to help you grow your business. Each day for 3 days, I'm going to share with you 10 ultra unique creative ways to attract dream clients to your photography business without spending a bunch of money. I'm calling this thing the 3 day client blitz, and it is pure gold. For 3 days, I'm going to give you so many creative ideas to get clients in your business right now. Just go to sixfigurephotography.com/blitz. sixfigurephotography.com/blitz. BLITZ. I can't wait to give you some incredible ideas. Hey, you're listening to the Six Figure Photography Podcast with Ben Hartley and Rachel Greiman.
Each week, a new episode will air to help you grow your business by winning more bookings, maximizing profits, and breaking through your limiting beliefs.
Today, we're talking about how to own your audience. So y'all, didn't we get a message from their parents? Like a panicked message from their parents, you know, like last week or so, whenever you're listening to this, that like, I can't, my Facebook's been hacked. I can't get in. I'm trying to reset my password. Nothing's working. Did you experience that, Rachel? Did anybody in your life?
No one asked me that. I didn't realize it happened. Was it down for a long time?
Yeah, it was down for long enough. And I realized it because of the community. You know, I was in the mastermind group just answering questions and I got logged out and then I couldn't change my password. Mm. But then my mother-in-law reached out to us and she was in a tizzy about like, she's, you know, what's going on, what's happening.
Absolutely.
And so essentially the servers for all of Meta went down. So Instagram, Facebook, Threads. Wah, 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 wah. Is anybody on Threads?
Nobody cares.
Who cares? We need a who cares button.
Yeah, we do.
Who cares? All went down. And it's a good reminder that if you have built your business on somebody else's platform, you've built your business in somebody else's house. They can sell the house. They could get rid of that. They could burn the house down. The house could get.
They could start charging you for the house.
Yes. And so this is just a good reminder of like, oh, it would probably be a good idea if we actually owned our audience, meaning that if all this stuff went away, we still had the ability to connect with them, to reach out to them, to provide them value, to make them an offer, to just be able to stay in touch. And so that's what we're going to talk about today is how to convert your current communities over into a space where you actually own the access to them and can continue to stay front of mind and in touch with them. Now, ideally, this isn't a this or that. This isn't an either or situation, right? Ideally, you can use your social platforms and reach them and you can actually own the audience as well and connect with them there. Totally. But this is just, it's a real good backup plan to have this
absolutely
in mind.
And I feel like it's a step further. Like a follow on social media is not nearly as intimate as somebody inviting you into their inbox.
Yeah.
Like a lot of us, I mean, I am a chaos. My inbox is chaotic at all times. So if I sign up for an email list with like the email that I actually use, that means I want to hear from you, you know, like I want to know what you're up to. And so I think even if you take the thing that Meta might crash off the table, it's still important to do it because it's a more intimate way to connect with your audience.
Yeah. And it doesn't always mean like, you know, we went kind of doom and gloom, like what if the things shut down? What if a server goes under? What if a platform just folds or sells or whatever? But like sometimes it just changes. Like a lot of the photographers, you know, back in what, I don't know what it was, 2010, something like that, 2013, built their business off of the back of Facebook, having a Facebook page that actually got engagement and follows and likes, and like having a Facebook page that people followed along was like huge. And then they changed the algorithm and they dropped the reach to like less than 1%. And they did it practically overnight. And I remember that wave. I remember the photographers that were just devastated at the loss of business. Absolutely. And conversation and access to the people that they felt like. I mean, I remember back in the day when I got my first 10,000 followers on my Facebook page and how big of a deal that was. And then like overnight, it was like, it didn't matter. It was, I had 10,000 people that I could not even reach if I wanted to.
Yep. And that's a little scary position to be in.
Yeah. So,
and I would say, I just to reiterate that point, like it hasn't just been that evolution that happened more than 10 years ago. It also happened when Instagram started pushing reels, you know, like that algorithm has changed so much in the last like 3 or 4 years. And so you should just never be relying on the thing that's working today on social media.
Yeah.
If you are not somebody who thrives on that change and kind of hacking the algorithm every single time it shifts, then don't put all of your eggs in that basket to begin with.
Yep. Get the eggs out. I want a clip of that. Just like that phrase.
Yeah, I want a shirt. Get the eggs out.
Get the eggs out. So when we say own your audience, what we are essentially talking about is your ability to reach people when you want to directly. And the best way to do that is by becoming friends with them and knocking on their door. That's it. That's what we're talking about. It's email, guys. It is email. It's like having an actual email list that you can reach out. You can send emails to people and connect directly with them. That's the best way to do this at scale.
Mm-hmm.
And so the very first thing that we're going to talk about, we're going to go through 5 steps to own your audience. The first step is this. When we're talking about building out an email list, Gmail is not really going to cut it. Especially actually this year, there's been a lot of restrictions around using Gmail as a mass emailing tool.
Device,
yeah. So you need an ESP, an email service provider. And so you just got to go sign up for one. And there's so many, and there's so many that have free kind of starting plans. Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorites, Rachel? I can list a few, but.
Yeah, I really like Flowdesk just because they're newer. They do not have all the bells and whistles of the bigger ones like ConvertKit or ActiveCampaign or even like the paid version of MailChimp. They don't have like A/B testing, that kind of thing. So if you're looking for that, you're going to want to go elsewhere. But for the average photographer, I would say for 75% to 85% of photographers, Flowdesk has everything you would need to send emails to collect emails and send them to your list. And they're pretty too. That's the thing that I really like about them. They come pre-designed. You just plop in your fonts, your colors, and you're golden. And so that's my favorite. Now, if you are an educator, you want to do heavy duty testing when you send things out and segmenting of your list. If you want to have a bunch of different email segments, it gets a little bit more convoluted on Flowdesk. But if you that is not in your plan and you are just looking for a basic way to collect email addresses and send people updates every once in a while, that is definitely my favorite. Now, I don't know if you know this, Ben, but Squarespace has their own integration now. Not with Flowdesk, but just like it's their own email marketing that comes with your plan when you buy it.
No, did not.
So I think that's a really great option if you have a Squarespace site, because then all of the like banners on your website that say sign up for my newsletter here are already like in your website because it's all one thing. That was very articulate, I know. But so, yeah, I would say if you're looking for the basics, free MailChimp, there's a free MailChimp version, but I think you have to pay like for subscribers after you hit a certain amount, right?
After you get a minimum of 1,000. Yeah. Which is a lot.
I think it's 1,000.
You
know? Yeah. 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 So 1,000, the free MailChimp version, the paid Flowdesk version. And then if you have Squarespace, that integration, those are my favorites. What are yours, Ben?
Yeah. ConvertKit is a great one. ActiveCampaign, you're going to be able to do more of the advanced stuff, which I like, but I do want to actually push back on one note is that I'm not a huge fan of Flowdesk intentionally because of the quote pretty emails.
Because they're how pretty they are. Yeah.
Well, because they look like marketing and they get flagged as marketing. Mm-hmm. And so you get lower deliverability at times when you have emails that are getting sent out that look like, you know, when you open an email from like JCPenney and it's like sale and it like looks like it just looks, it doesn't look like you're getting an email from a friend.
Totally.
When I send emails, I want them to look like an email that you would actually get from a friend. And so I intentionally make them plain text. I'll drop in a GIF. I'll drop in a picture.
Yeah.
But I strip away all the kind of stuff, and I don't want them to be pretty, but this maybe is a, you know, a personal preference thing, but I like my emails to just be read like they're from a friend. And so, I like ConvertKit. That'd be my number one recommendation for photographers. Personally.
Yeah. But do they have a free version of that?
I believe they do. I think like all of these ones do.
Yeah. I don't know if Flowdesk does, to be honest.
Oh, really? Yeah. I think ConvertKit has a free one up to the first 1,000 subscribers, you know? So it's a great place to start. Okay. So great. You've got an email service provider. Fantastic. You need to create a place where you will collect the emails, where someone can actually sign up to get on your email list. And the best way to do this is to create a standalone landing page. Okay. This is just a single page where it has one goal only. And that is to communicate why someone should join the list and give them the opportunity to opt in to do so. It is removed of everything else. And so if you're trying to build an email list and you're sending people to a page that has like a main menu nav at the top, you are decreasing your opt-in rates. And you want those opt-ins to be as high as possible. And so just building a really simple landing page. Rachel, you and I were talking about this. A lot of these, when you sign up for them, these email service providers, they will give you all the tools needed to build out a landing page and put it right on your site, correct?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it comes with whatever you signed up for. It's not like you're paying extra every time you build a landing page. Like I could build 100 landing pages in Flowdesk and they're all free. And once you have a landing page too, you can track the analytics of it. So you know, like I have different landing pages depending on how people got to the sign up. So it tells me how many people are coming from Instagram, how many people are coming from my website, how many people are coming from my email signature, you know, so then I can see where I'm getting the most traffic.
Yep. Yep. And a lot of these ESPs, they also have like other tools, like little pop-up windows that you could install on your homepage or something. Just be cautious with that. You know, like if you're putting them on your website and it's interrupting the flow of your homepage and you're moving people out of the main funnel, which is to contact you, and now you're directing them on the homepage to go fill out like this form somewhere else. I don't recommend those type of things on the homepage. But you know, maybe there's other blog posts or something where it does make sense to do so. But for right now, just a simple landing page that has one call to action to sign up for the email list. Rachel, do you want to get into just like this fundamental, like base level next step of connecting with your current people?
Yeah, you just want to start collecting email addresses. You just want to get people signing up for that. A great way to do this is to talk about it on social media and you can link to that. You could also, depending on if you get a lot of clients from Instagram, you could make the link in your bio to sign up for your email newsletter instead of to contact you. Or I think you can have two links now actually, but you can just make it one of your links. So that way when somebody checks you out, finds you on Instagram, it instantly gives them another way to keep in touch with you. And the other thing is to just like maybe reach out to the people that you already know. And it's illegal actually to just add people to your email list, right, Ben?
Correct.
We can't do that anymore. So you can't just like add people and be like, well, if they don't want it, they will just opt out. Like, no, don't do that. But I think you can send an email to everybody that you know or like different segments of people you know and say, hey, I launched this new newsletter. This is what I'm going to be chatting about there. Please sign up so you don't miss any updates from me.
Yeah.
But a great way to do it, you should constantly be talking about it on Instagram, mostly in stories. And then you can just put a direct link to that. That's where I get most of my newsletter signups.
Yeah, at this kind of stage in it, we just want to try to create the opportunity for you to convert the warmest audience that you have. The people who already are following you on Facebook, they're following you on Instagram, maybe they're part of a Facebook group or a page, or you already have connection with them through email. And we want past clients. We're just going to invite them into actually opting in to your email list. And a simple way to say that is something along the lines of like, thanks for being a follower here. Thanks for following me on Facebook. Thanks for following me on Instagram, wherever it is. If you've enjoyed seeing my work, if you've enjoyed the content that I post, I would love to stay connected in case my account were to, you know, disappear or something. So just grab the link Swipe up. You could do the tap thing where you embed the link with a story. But just that's it. That's the call to action. And you just share that across all of your audiences. And listen, this is like, don't expect people to come, like everyone to move over. If you have like 5,000 people on Instagram that follow you, don't expect any near amount of that. But let's just start to begin to build this list from nothing. Let's get 5 people today. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Right, right. Absolutely. And next up, we start trying to convert a little bit of a colder audience.
Yeah.
And you do that by giving them something. And this is called, in digital marketing circles, a lead magnet. All it is a way to entice people to sign up for your list. Like, hey, I'll give you my email address if you're going to give me this free information. The best kind of lead magnet to create is one that your ideal client actually cares about. Mm. So some information that is a resource to them, that is actually helping them in this phase of their lives. If you're a family photographer, it can be my favorite places to shop for family photo outfits, you know, and then they're like getting access to, you know, a professional's opinion about what clothes look good together. If you're a wedding photographer, it could be my favorite venues in my city, you know, or what else, Ben?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I would do is, so to rewind real fast, we'll continue to convert the warm audience, but by now enticing them with something, but also now we're going to hopefully get this out to colder people. But I would just say, ask them, ask your audience what they want. So sure, but let's brainstorm a few of the things that, you know, that they might want help with: finding great vendors, how to not look awkward in their photographs, best locations,
what not to forget
for pictures.
Not to forget on your wedding day.
Yep, like, exactly. How to, outfits to pick for the kids, that it makes it impossible to fail. I don't know. You like create a list of like 3 to 5 different ideas and then present them to your audience. Make this an Instagram story with a poll, post this into your Facebook group, email people out and just ask like, what would you like me to make a resource on? And I'll put this together. I do this all the time. All of the content that I produce, I'll first do the initial brainstorm and then I reach out and I let my audience decide what it is. And the cool thing about doing this, Rachel, is they feel ownership over it. They actually start to like feel like they were participated in. And so because of that, they tend to also consume it more and then want to share it more because they were a part of the creation process.
Yeah. What is your lead magnet right now for your wedding company?
I don't have a lead magnet right now for my wedding company. For weddings, I don't do.
You just take what comes.
Well, exactly. I don't need to. I've got the leads that I need, so I don't have to do this. I think also, with email nurturing, it makes a lot more sense for repeat buyers. So this is something that I think makes way more sense for portraiture rather than weddings. Because weddings, I have a one-time buyer. I'm not doing family work afterwards, right? So when I get someone who contacts me, they're either going to buy now or not. Like, so they're right into it. But for like boudoir, for families, this is someone who I'm going to want to stay front of mind with over and over and over.
Totally.
And so having that list be a main part of my marketing strategy would be essential for portraits.
Mine for my family photo site is my favorite kid-friendly restaurants in Denver.
Oh, I love
that. So it doesn't even have anything to do with photography. It's literally just people who want to take their kids out to eat are my kind of clients. And I know that about them. So I made something that they would be interested in because I want those people on my list.
Yeah.
So you can back into it that way too. It doesn't need to be something about their photography session. It can also just be something that would be valuable to the people that you like working with.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess I should probably like step back a little. Like one of the things that I do use as a lead magnet to get them to fill my contact form instead of to get on my email list as a wedding photographer is I have a top 10 venues list here in Tampa, Florida. And so I use that to dangle the carrot to give them value to come over to my site where then they will convert and fill out the contact form rather than like the email list, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we've created the lead magnet. Now, this is where we hopefully more of our audience, the ones that didn't initially just take us up on like, sure, I'll sign up. I like your content. Mm-hmm. Now the ones we've given them some value. So they're like, okay, cool, we're converting more of them. Now we need to convert like a complete cold audience. People who don't really know us, over to fill out the form. And so this is where we're going to promote the lead magnet. And promotion of the lead magnet, honestly, this can be as simple as some of the strategies that we've already kind of laid out. putting it directly into Instagram, putting it on email signatures, just like for your regular emails that are going out to your leads or to your clients. That could be another one. What else?
We said Instagram stories, like posting about it there.
Yep. Yep. Adding it to your bio, carousel posts, or even using a reel. And you can have people say, like, you can give them a call to action. Like, hey, if you'd like this, you know, DM, just send me a DM, and you can just directly DM it to people. There's also tools like ManyChat where you can automate that. I think most photographers probably aren't in the need for automation game just yet for that kind of a thing. Like, they can probably manually do it. But at a certain point, you can use ManyChat, which essentially is a tool that says, like, when someone comments the number 10, you know, whatever, it'll automatically DM them the resource. Sometimes,
and
go ahead.
I was just going to say, you also can give people a taste of what's in there on social media in a carousel post or a reel. And you can say, this is the kind of content that's in here. If you want it, comment this. Yep. So it's like giving them a taste of what is in the actual lead magnet that you're going to send to them.
Yep. Even on that note, like, you could have blog posts that they start, you know, they deliver value. And then you can do like an upgrade where, like, if you want 10 more, drop your email and I'll send you 10 additional venues that I love, right? So you give them value in the post and then they can upgrade it for free just with their email and they can get additional things. Honestly, even just saying, if you'd like this information in a PDF format, drop your email and I'll send it to you. Sometimes people prefer to have things like that instead of a link to a website.
You can run ads too.
Yep. You can absolutely run ads. That's probably something I wouldn't recommend for most people who are in the testing phase of this you know, kind of stuff.
If you're just starting this, don't throw an ad up there.
Yeah.
But if you are growing your newsletter list and this has become profitable for you and it's gotten you a lot of clients, I would definitely consider it.
Yep. But that's really the core of it. You know, like, honestly, everything else is just like different iterations and additions to this core principle, right? Mm-hmm. And from this, you then have the opportunity to build out a valuable email sequence to build trust, to build authority, to build value, to build reciprocation with your audience. So they're going to want to open the emails. They're going to want to buy from you. And there's a lot of ways you could do that. And so maybe that takes us to next week, Rachel.
Mm-hmm. Next week, I really would like to talk about what you can email your audience about, because once you have their email addresses, it's like, you don't just want to sit on them. You don't want to be the person that randomly emails them every 6 months and is like, "Ha, sorry, forgot about this. I'm having a sale." Like, that is, does not feel good as a consumer, and it doesn't really build trust in your professionalism. So it doesn't need to be weekly, you know, it can be a monthly just update if you want it to be. But I think there are some really good ideas and kind of formats you can give yourself that are valuable to your audience. And we'll talk about those next week and different ideas for different genres.
Yes. What to say, how to say it, when to say it. I think that's probably like the three main questions that people would have.
Well,
like,
said.
Yeah. What do I say? How often do I need to say these things? And then what else did I say? What, how, when, what did I say?
How to say it.
Yeah. I don't
know. You said what to say, when to say it, and how to say it.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, how often do you email? What are you emailing them about, and how do you write? I think a lot of photographers struggle with that. They're like, I say this all the time, but like, a lot of photographers will sit down to write something like an email and they'll sound like the CEO of Costco, like do, 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 do. And it's like not their personality. And it's just really excessively formal for no reason. So I think we can talk about that too next week, about how to write in a conversational way that is warm and engaging versus I am emailing you because I have an update about my life, you know?
Yep, for sure. Okay, perfect. Well then, hey, I can't wait to see you on the next episode of the Six Figure Photography Podcast. Until then, keep showing up.
And be kind to yourself.